103.7 to beat your boy Big Rob, the fat guy at the station. And as promised earlier today, we have Frank Cargill from TOK Realty. If I'm saying that right, welcome to the show, Frank. How are you doing out there?
I'm doing well, thank you. Thank you for having us on the show. I'm very excited about this opportunity to talk about Idlewild, Michigan.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Oh, you're handling all the Idlewild.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, let's start talking. What we got cracking in Idlewild?
Well, first of all, let me give a little bit of history about Idlewild. If you know about Idlewild, you know about Idlewild. But Idlewild is just not even an hour away from Muskegon, an hour and 15 minutes away from Muskegon. And it is a historical African-American resort community that started back in 1912, years and years and years and years ago. And in its heyday, there were 30,000 people a year coming up there. And for those of you that know, I guess, Highway 10 and M37, think about that. And halfway in between, there's a blinking yellow light on Highway 10, and there's a big sign that says, "Welcome to Idlewild, Michigan." That resort community back in the day had as many as 30,000 people a year in there, and it's 36 square miles of land. All right.
Oh, wow.
And it became the almost a Las Vegas of the Midwest back in those days. Where we had, now you got to think about what was going on in those days. There was segregation. And African Americans were not allowed to not only go many places, you were not even allowed to own property in certain resort communities. And it started out as a resort community for African Americans. And for the first time in many, many places around the country, one of the few places where you could actually go and buy land and build your vacation dream house.
Okay? Oh, wow.
And while you're up there vacationing, you are being treated to the Chitlin Circuit. Do you know what that means? The Chitlin Circuit, where all those big stars, the Count Basie and things of that nature, Moms Maybe, all those folks. Everybody from Motown and everything else were coming up to Idlewild to be seen. And you have to understand that while it was all of that back then, everybody was coming in, not just us. To see what was happening in Idlewild. There were several nightclubs, the Paradise Club, the Flamingo Club there, and it was going on big time. Now, my personal experience with Idlewild, Michigan started when I was, best I can tell, maybe 3 years old. And I can tell by a picture of myself standing next to my daddy's 1957 Pontiac Star Chief. Okay. And that's how I can put the age on this whole thing.
Right.
And recall going there and sitting on his lap, driving down the dirt roads and pretending like I'm driving. All right. And passing by all these little tiny little cottages. And think about a city, but city blocks, and you have little narrow lots or deep kind of a thing. That's how Idlewild was laid out back in the day. And there were little tiny cottages, we also call them doghouse cottages, with outhouses that populated each one of these little tiny little lots all the way.
Oh, that's wow.
20,000 people up there.
Now, wow.
Now, we're going to have to jump ahead to the 1960s, okay, if you will. And up until then, it was rocking and rolling every summer in every big way. And people were going up there having an absolute blast. All right. Now, here's what happened. In 1964, the Civil Rights Movement, and it became illegal to segregate based on color entry into public accommodations. All right.
Oh, wow.
We couldn't just go to any hotel. We couldn't go to just any other restaurant. I remember traveling with my parents. We go to Alabama, but they're from Alabama originally, right? We all came from somewhere.
Right.
And we would never stop at the restaurants that we passed. We had to pull off on the side of the road and take our little picnic basket and go and sit on the side and eat our lunch and then keep going. And so that was what was going on back in the day. We were not even allowed in certain communities at all or places. But so think that into fruition. And that's why you got all these people up there packed up there, because why? There weren't any other places like that we could go, and absolutely not places where we could actually buy land and build and live and enjoy. It has several large lakes that are just absolutely beautiful, and they built lake houses on those communities. And so think about Black folks being able to come up north from Detroit, from all the cities and the major cities in Michigan, from Indianapolis, from Ohio, from every place, came from all across the Midwest and everything else to come and party in Idlewild. And those that could afford to built homes, built really nice homes. and things like that. And they party on the lakes. And they still do that part today. Right?
Oh, wow.
That part still exists today. But the difference is this. When you go from 30,000 people a year, these little tiny little lots in filling houses, to what happened, and I'll use the words of my own mother, as we're talking about where they're going on vacation in 1964, 65 time frame. Mm-hmm. I said, well, Mom, you didn't say anything about going back to Idlewild. She said, no, honey, we're not going back to Idlewild because we can go everywhere. And they proceeded to talk about the trip we had planned to go to the New York City World's Fair and stay in a hotel in Manhattan and be able to do these things, which we were not allowed to do back in the day. It was illegal and we couldn't go there. So now think about this. If you are of a family that had the ability to vacation and to travel and things of that nature back in the day when there was no place else to go, now you're a family that if you could do that back then, you could also go anyplace else you want to go.
Right.
That's what happened to the 30,000 people. We went every place else seeking what other people are doing and trying to experience that experience. So now what we're left with is a community that used to be all these little tiny little houses on dirt roads and things of that nature. The grid is still there. The grid is still there. But all that, much of that land has reforested. We're in the middle of the Manistee Forest. And that forest does what forest does. It grows right back up. And
right.
All over. So as you drive through there now, there are very few remnants or that you'll see that can remind you of exactly what was built back in the day. All right. But now what I see and what I want your people to see is opportunity. Is opportunity for us now to develop. So I want to take another scenario as we're talking about this issue here. This is really critical to today's time and where we are in this world at this point. Now imagine that we're going from a place where we couldn't buy anywhere. We are living many generations now of being able to go everywhere you want to be. And I've had the privilege of traveling all over the world, both in my business and personal life. This was not possible back then, but now we can. But there's something else that's happening now. Now it's time for us to kind of look around and say, well, wait a minute, why am I running around going to other neighborhoods? And think about Muskegon. And the neighborhoods that used to be really teemed with people, with factory workers working in the factories that no longer exist. What do they look like now? What do they look like now? Okay, a lot of vacant land, broken down houses, and things of that nature. The jobs are no longer there. The people are no longer there. Detroit, same thing. Automotive industry moves out. All the black neighborhoods where the workers used to live, gone. Okay, they turned into trash. So I want us to think about this opportunity is when do we begin to take on our own community, because we choose to. We choose to, because now we have choices. So let's take all that experience we've had taking cruises and buying timeshares and getting all tricked out on that kind of stuff and going on all these vacations and say, why not choose to invest in our own community?
Right.
And buy land and build a home, or just buy the land and sit on it. If you understand land, no matter what, there's a limited amount of land, and that land will always be that piece of land, and it will increase in value over time.
Right.
Just sitting there, doing nothing else to it. So as Americans and African Americans especially, and younger people, we need to start to understand the value of investing in real estate, and sometimes just holding it. And other times, developing it and putting something on it, a vacation home, a second home, or even a permanent home that you could live in. Or let's call it a short-term rental that does what? Pays for itself and brings revenue. Now, let's take knowledge. So you get back those economic concepts, and I want you to understand those and the importance of us as a community of people to teach ourselves and our children and grandchildren the importance of investing in our own communities. Why wait until some other group comes into that neighborhood that we vacated to go to the burbs? For them to come in and buy up the properties at pennies on the dollar for what it should have been, because we escaped and we allowed ourselves to be forced out, or we ran to go to someplace else that we weren't allowed to go before. Why don't we do that for ourselves?
Right.
And that's what today's time calls from. These political times, give me a break. We need to have our own place. And it's time for us to start seeing where can we put down our own roots, our own money, and create an economic environment that we will build for and develop generational wealth. So that's my story, and I'm sticking to it, and I want to say that that's the message I want to get across to as many young people and people my age. I'm 70. I'll be 72 in a few weeks, in a month. Okay.
Wow.
I would say that that it's so important. I was fortunate. I grew up in a real estate family. I first got my my real estate license when I was 18 at Michigan State, at actually the community course while I was community college up there while I was working on my degree in economics at Michigan State. But I was fortunate. I was able to go to college and do these things. And I was also raised in a family that invested in real estate. Not unlike Terry, coming from a family that was in real estate. And I got to see what it was like to own rental properties and things of that nature. Because guess who went and cut grass on the weekends? Guess who picked up after some of those tenants? I did. And you know what? I didn't think that was a lot of fun back in the day. Uh-huh. And as a result of that, when I had the opportunity to get a job at General Motors right out of college, I'm not gonna do that. My degree got me that, and that's where I'm going to go. And I can honestly say this many, many, many years later, that that was not a mistake because of a phenomenal experience. But I know that it was so good, but I also realized what I gave up. And what I gave up was helping my family business continue to prosper and to grow based on where I am and what I've learned. And I sought out my whole world in corporate America, doing all that kind of great stuff. And it was great. I'm not going to go into a lot of detail, but just trust me, I had a great time and some huge experiences. But now at this age, and as I approach retirement, I got a chance to come back to Idlewild. Maybe about 8 years ago, a cousin of mine bought some property up there and wanted me to come up and take a look at it. I took a look at it and I'm driving through and says, wow, it's different. There's nothing but trees. And also, again, not like some other neighborhoods we have left behind, there's a raggedy house here or there, okay, kind of falling down. And go, wow, why is that still there? And driving through, but still, there was no doubt that the peace and the quiet and the stillness of being in a forest has some value. And you start to look differently, and you look up at the sky, and at night, and you see the millions of stars in the sky. And so that kind of looks different. We went to the beach one night and laid down on the beach and looked up at the sky and saw the millions of stars you can't see when you're in the city. And that was kind of getting hooked, okay, quite
right.
But what I found also is that the people that I met that were there, and the people that are there, either if they're long-term, year-round occupants or people that come up for the summers, are just wonderful. They're great people because they're coming to do the same thing I'm coming to do, chill and have a good time.
Yeah.
And just be peaceful and kind and wonderful to each other. So that's what we have happening in Idlewild right now, even though it's all forest predominantly. But under that forest is land that's still owned by folks who are paying their taxes every year because they were told never to sell their properties because we were trying to keep it our own. Well, some of it got away. In fact, a lot of it got away. But we still have a big ownership opportunity here, and it's very inexpensive in terms of raw land, for sure, and things of that nature. So I'll give you an example, not so much of Idlewild, but I could give you an Idlewild example, but I'll give you one of my own personal real estate examples so people can understand how this works. So I bought a house in Detroit. It's in a good neighborhood. It's called the University District. It's a very nice neighborhood. But back then in 1982, the house had been repossessed on a land contract. And again, my father's real estate company had it for sale. So I always wanted to check this neighborhood out. So I went over and took a look at it. And it needed a lot of work. It really needed a lot of work. Mm-hmm. 5 bedrooms, though, living room, big place, nice place, great neighborhood, all brick and all that kind of stuff. But it needed a lot of work. But the moment I stepped into that door, I knew it was mine. I knew right away it was mine. So with $35,000 to buy that house and another $35,000 to fix it up, we had a 5-bedroom home that I was able to raise my young family in. Okay, now let's take that step forward and store it a few more years. So this is 1982 when we bought it. Mm-hmm. In 1996, I had the opportunity that corporate America called again. continued to call. They continued to call me. And I was one of these people that had a good reputation, so I was pulled, hey, we need you over here. We want you to come here. And to come and help United Airlines and help them with their minority suppliers and help turn them around and get them profitable again and to get them making their deadlines. So I sold my house in Detroit for $187,000.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Now, this is the power of owning real estate. This is the power of owning real estate over time. Yes, I fixed it up. That did something. But from $35,000 to from $70,000 to a few years later, not even, was it 10 years later?
Right.
Or whatever, that I've got a house that now is worth $180,000-something. And I sold it and I moved to Chicago. Okay. And moved to Chicago because that's where the opportunity was and things of that nature. But let's go back to Idlewild. So I give that as an example of how big of a difference it can be when you buy a property at a given point, and over the years, of course you have to maintain it. Of course you have to put money into it. Of course you have to do these things. But at the end, there's a payday, a significant payday, if you buy in the right neighborhoods. And if you buy in the wrong neighborhoods, you could still make sure that your property gets better by maintaining it well. So that's the message I want to get to anybody that's listening to this program, that understands, why do we invest in why? Why can't I just rent? Well, you know what? When you rent, after you paid your rent all these years and you move out, you might get your security deposit back if you were good.
Might.
But if you owned that same house and you were paying that same monthly on a mortgage or whatever finance you got it after 10 years or something like that, it may have increased in value significantly. And if you've made some improvements to it, it can do that as well. So that is the thing. So just take a look at Idlewild. Well, why not? Go ahead and buy some land in Idlewild. Buy a house in Idlewild. Build something in Idlewild. And let that be our place where we can enjoy. So if you're just looking for a place to chill and relax and you can't afford a second home, consider doing it in Idlewild. If you're looking for a place to live that is more rural and quiet and peaceful and calm, and I don't want to say this out loud, but it's very safe. Within our community. All right. Now, it is up north of Michigan. Let's be real.
Right.
Let's be real. Right. All right. But within our own community, we run it.
Okay.
And it's ours. So there's a little bit about Idlewild from that standpoint that I wanted to share. But the message to your listeners, invest in our own communities and see what we can do with it. So now we still have concerts. We have concerts, about three or four of them in the year in the summer times. We just had Idlewild Live, and after People, Bryson was supposed to be sitting at that event, but he was not able to be there. But we had Take Six. We had a number of other groups that were just fantastic. And when you're out there giving their live performances, people are in were at the Yates Township property, which is a school football field, essentially, and all put all together. But we're out there in our tents, we're out there in our lawn chairs and things of that nature. There's great food being cooked and music being cooked and people just chilling and vibing on the environment that's there in a very safe and secure environment that is made just for us and by us and run by us for us. So that's just a peek of what you can get at Idlewild. Coming up very soon is what we call the Divine Nine Weekend. And this is where all of the Greek organizations, the sororities and fraternities come together and have a party on Wilson Island. It's a beach party with a DJ. They bring their tents, they bring their colors, you know, and all that kind of stuff, and just party all day long. It's going to start on a Friday with a comedy show, and then on Saturday, you just get into just having a good time on the beach. There are kayaks there you can rent to go out on the lake and just chill. And there's something that is the most unique experience is going out on the lake in Idlewild. By the way, I am in Chicago. I live one block from Lake Michigan. I can see through the trees Lake Michigan from where I am. Mm-hmm. All right. And I go to the beach quite often on Lake Michigan. So why do I go to Idlewild?
Right.
Why do I do that when I've got Lake Michigan right here at my fingertips? Because it's peaceful, it's manageable, and it's just us.
Okay. Wow. Yeah.
And it's just us. I'm just saying. Now, there's other people that are trying to get in. There's some people that are there. I'm not going to lie. That is the truth. But if we do nothing and if we don't start taking a look at our own communities and say, well, why not us? Let us be the ones that are lining up to buy.
Right.
And to buy and increasing in value so we can make it what we need to be for ourselves. Do know, in my global travels, in my corporate life, African American culture is revered everywhere.
Everywhere.
Everywhere. And you think that we can't bring that same energy back to Idlewild because we are here. We are here. But we need a place to go and do it and call it our own. Now, a lot of people look at that kind of activity as, like, you go to Martha's Vineyard, okay, or some more well-known places.
Yes.
Well, if you've got 1.2 million to put down on a 900 square foot cottage, I got you one in Idlewild I can sell you for 100 grand or less. Okay?
Wow.
So you're going to spend 1.2 million to be in Martha's Vineyard, or do you want to spend, you know, $80,000 or $110,000 to be in Idlewild?
Right.
Okay? And we know we do that, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, people go every year, oh, I'm going to Martha's Vineyard. And they spend for a whole weekend.
Right.
All right. So, so those same people, hey, take another look. Let's see what, if we bring that energy into Idlewild and those kind of dollars into Idlewild, those are those that are running out there doing that kind of thing.
Right.
Ourselves.
Right.
And look around 10, 15 years later and see what we have built and what we have done. And as far as the economics of the whole thing, since we are so revered, well, what if we brought our talents? What if we brought our expertise to Idlewild when we came? We don't just simply buy the property, but we bring our expertise and our experiences that we have. And we say, I have a neighbor that owns this property right next to the lot that I own there. She was she did the clay models at the General Motors Tech Center. So you know, when a car is designed,
right,
it starts out as a clay model.
Yeah.
Well, she's just right next door. She would love to teach people how to sculpt in clay. All right.
Oh, wow.
You see that kind of thing. Those people exist in Idlewild right now, all over the place. All over the place. So anytime you get out there, you will talk to somebody and you find out what they've done in their lives and experiences they can share with you on what they have done. I always say a chance to be on an Idlewild lake on somebody's pontoon boat is one you'll never forget.
Right.
All right. So it's the people also. I'm going to sort of rest with that concept at this point. And if you have some other questions, we can kind of get into it some more. But does that give you a different approach to thinking about Idlewild?
Oh, you gave me a totally different approach about Idlewild. I didn't know. I knew a little bit about Idlewild, but didn't know as much as you have explained. And it seems as though this would be a good opportunity, especially with what's going on in the world today. This would be a great opportunity for those that can to do.
Correct.
Okay?
Correct.
Now, if there's somebody listening to you, Frank, how do they get in contact with you and say, hey, Frank, I want you to show me some properties up there in Idlewild. When can we meet in Idlewild?
Okay. So, well, it starts with a phone call, something as simple as a phone call to me. But again, I'm at TLK Real Estate Incorporated. So our office number is 231-375-8779. But I'm going to give you a number where you can get to me directly.
Okay.
And that number is 773-425-2566. That goes directly to me right now. All right. And say you're interested in Idlewild, Michigan, and I can work with you. All right. Yeah. So I'm licensed in Michigan. I didn't get my license in Illinois.
Right.
I could make a hell of a lot more money. I'll be clear about this. But I'm doing this because I believe in us as a people and the need for us to pave the way to do something different and use our skills that we have gained over all these years, creeping out there, but having the opportunity to have been in corporate America and work with companies like General Motors, United Airlines, and World Vision International, largest corporations in the world, Sidley Austin, where the Obamas met. Okay, I created their global procurement organization. So I've had a chance to be in a lot of places where there was just me, so to speak. And now I see the absolute value of rebuilding my own community in Idlewild. Done.
Wow.
I'm going to peace out, okay, with that.
So there's acreage in Idlewild can buy.
That's correct.
Now, do we still have to use an outhouse, or do we have up-to-date plumbing that we can install now?
So let's talk about that. So if you buy a piece of property that has nothing on it at all, at minimum, like you would in any rural suburban community, you might have to put in a septic tank. you might have to put in a well, all right,
okay, to get your water. All right.
If you happen to build near a lake, okay, not on the lake specifically, but if you build near a lake, you might be able to tap into the sewer system. Because they did build sewers around the lake proper, around the lakes, so that their septic tanks wouldn't leach into the lake.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
Kind of makes sense. So no, you don't have to do an outhouse in this time. You can have an indoor bathroom. You can have a beautiful house. There's some houses up there, I would say, that people have been able to build on their ancestral grounds. I have a good friend that did that, that bought that had property was owned by their grandparents. The house that the grandparents had built caught on fire. And it was just left as a hole in the ground. The basement foundation was there for many years. And in fact, when I first started going up there, I noticed it. So, this is a great place. Somebody should do something with this. And I found out who owned it. I reached out to them. They didn't respond. And then some years later, I go back and I'm noticing across the lake, somebody's building something on my point. Mm-hmm. They didn't even call me back. They're building something on there. Well, I'm here to tell you that place is fabulous, absolutely fabulous. So if you have the ability, there's a place that you can do it, and it is happening in Idlewild. If you don't have a lot of money, there's a place where you could do it that's affordable in Idlewild.
In Idlewild. Wow. Yeah. Well, thanks, Frank. I am glad Terry Kitchen got me and you in contact. I hope this won't be the last time I talk to you about Idlewild. And hey, if you looking at property or you're looking at vacation home, Idlewild seems like the place you should be. It's quiet. I've been up there one time. I had a friend that had a cabin up there. Mm-hmm. I went up there. I've only been up there once, and that was years ago. But I thought of the peace that you were talking about in the quiet. You know, the hustle and bustle of city life, whether it's a big city or even a small city, sometimes can be overwhelming. Yeah. So a place like Idlewild makes you be able to have some of that peace back, it seems like to me. But Frank, again, give them the number to TOK Realty if they're looking at Idlewild.
Okay, so the main number is 231-375-8779.
And give them your number again,
too. My direct number is 773-425-2566.
All right. Well, thank you, Frank, for educating us and making us a little bit more aware of Idlewild.
All right.
Okay? All right.
And I'll send something back to you about events that are coming up soon so that you can promote them or whatever you might want to do.
Yeah, that would be great. If you hang on after we get done, I'll tell you where to send it. Okay?
Perfect.
All right.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Yeah, no problem. We're going to get back to more music on 103.7 The Beat.